In the name of our one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Woe to those who build their houses by unrighteousness and their upper rooms by injustice, who make their neighbors work for nothing and do not give them their wages. Says God this morning to us through the prophet Jeremiah. This ancient text to me feels awfully contemporary, this indictment, and it is, this indictment of those, both civic and corporate leaders, right to the very top, who have built upon so many others' backs, exploited labor and resources, the earth and her people, to fill their own pockets. This is what God is talking about in Jeremiah. The reality that so much wealth is made by so few, through the impoverishment of so many, is as tragic and savage now, and it is, as it is old. We see it reflected in much of our own sacred texts written thousands of years ago, and yet it feels as fresh as today's news. What God in Jeremiah is saying as well, it's also an indictment of those of us who place our own lust for wealth or material gain or security or power over against the well-being of others. God does something else in this text, though. God also makes it known here and over again throughout our scriptures that the lives of the impoverished, the lives of those in need, the lives of those who are marginalized, minimized, exploited, are precious. These lives matter. Don't tell God in that snarky, condescending way that all lives matter. God won't hear of it. God's universal love demands that the lives of those who are oppressed and persecuted, that they be given preference, be held up, honored, companioned. How to understand this? Well, maybe this is one way. We have a parent, a loving parent, has two children, loves them both equally as any loving parent would. There's no preference right out of the gate, of course. The parent loves them both. The parent, this loving parent, goes into a room, goes into the living room. And one of the children has the other child in a headlock, brutally beating the child. The parent walking in the room, what does the parent do? Oh dear, would you please stop? Could you please just behave? Could you please just all get along? No, the parent does not do that. That's not love. Because one of the children is being throttled by the other. The parent demands immediately that the child be released. And if that doesn't work, and it doesn't work quickly, the parent takes action. The parent in that moment has a preference for the child who is being beaten. That loving parent is God. God does have a preference, yes. The earth matters, the exploited and abused earth. Black lives matter. Brown lives matter, indigenous lives matter, all those lives that have been brutalized up until this day. In the face of injustice and unrighteousness, God's love for everything that God has made, it means that God, yes, does take sides, as that loving parent was forced to. God works through and stands with those who are dismissed and denigrated, because God desires that we all flourish, that we all thrive. But what we read in Jeremiah isn't only an indictment. It's not only God's preferential love. It's also God's call to conversion. Because through this same love, God is always and everywhere calling for our conversion, for our turning toward right action, toward righteousness. With God, there is always the possibility of reconciliation. No one, nothing is lost forever. Always the possibility of reconciliation between ourselves and with our God and with the earth. We see all of this truth about God lived out in the flesh. It is made incarnate through Jesus and in those who follow Jesus, so us. St. Francis is a striking example of this. Born at the very top, as far as the values of the world, or our own society, for that matter, would be concerned, he occupied that spacious house with large upper rooms, paneled with cedar, painted with vermilion. Born the child of a wealthy merchant, his father, and an aristocratic mother, in the 13th century, just like today, he had the wealth, the power, and the connections that many long for. Some will do anything to obtain and hold on to. Yet as he grew into adulthood, he realized that Jesus' values, they were distinctly different than these values, the values of our own society. And that following Jesus meant, for Francis, downward mobility. So he abandoned it all. He left it to preach, evangelize, to build peace. Not only with his fellow humans, but with all of God's creatures, all those he encountered. He left all that he had known in order to serve Jesus in a life devoted to those people and creatures and places who were impoverished or who were ill or in conflict or in need in many different ways. A dramatic example of taking Jesus' words quite literally and leaving everything to follow him. I understand how we follow Jesus. It may not look quite as dramatic as Francis, but even so, it still means that, like Francis, we, in our own varied ways, we companion those who need our solidarity, those who need our support, our presence. Those who need us to stand up and acclaim with our words and our actions that God does have preference, as God loves all that God has made, that God is that loving parent coming into the living room. It means, like Francis, that we do identify our own unrighteousness and justice. We heed God's call for conversion, for turning. We offer ourselves to God. It does mean, like Francis, that we walk with each other in humility and not arrogance, self-giving, not self-centeredness, seeking the needs of the whole instead of just our own. And like Francis did, that we recognize our interdependence. That interdependence is the truth about who we are, who we really are, as God created us. And as it did for Francis, this includes humankind and extends far beyond it. God loves the whole of our beautiful and sacred, though abused and exploited, earth. God invites us to care for all of these relationships, to value them, to cultivate them, and especially then, to minister alongside those people and creatures and places that need, that demand God's justice, God's healing hand the most. As God also seeks to heal our own places of brokenness. This is the blessed reality of God's love for all that God has made. Let us proclaim this, as Francis did, yes, with our words, but with the whole of our lives. Amen.
Amen.